CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. J.K. Rowling, the author of Harry Potter, the creator of Hogwarts, Magic. I remember it vividly, reading the books to my children as soon as they came out. And now, J.K. Rowling is abused by people who oppose freedom of speech. Oddly, strangely, the whole matter requires very careful explication. And I welcome Conrad Black, a distinguished biographer, writing for the National Post about this phenomenon of abusing J.K. Rowling because, as a philanthropist, as a woman who speaks out in her mind in political matters such as Brexit and Scottish independence, she has spoken out in support of women who are women. And it is very difficult. The English language begins to break down. So I'm going to pause and turn it over to Conrad. Conrad, a very good evening to you. I don't know that there is an offense that J.K. Rowling has made, but she is standing up and pushing back against people who abuse her. Good for her, Conrad. Thank you.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, John. I mean, her offense in the eyes of the trans radicals is her objection to describing women as people who menstruate. I mean, she did not mean by that that it wasn't accurate. What her objection was that they weren't calling women women. Just call them women. You don't have to identify them by physical activities that are restricted to them as opposed to men any more than you would do that with men. And it's just evasive and unnecessary and obtuse. And for stating that, which I believe the overwhelming majority of people would agree with her, she's being accused of hurling on the backs of the persecuted trans people the forces of feminism. And what I was saying in the piece you kindly referred to was that those of us who have a very tolerant view of everybody, have great sympathy for people who have complexities in their sex lives and so forth, but do believe that there are really only two sexes and everybody can work out their sexuality for themselves with no coercion or public indecency, and that men and women exist, and you take it from there. I mean, I know it's a quaint and antiquated and ludicrous concept in the eyes of many, but that huge majority of us who believe it to be true and can demonstrate that it is, it can sit it out while these militants in the fringes, the behavioral and sociological fringes, or psychosociological fringes, fight it out with each other. And so I was really presenting it in a slightly whimsical, slightly humorous way that, you know, those of us who are a little tired of defending the obvious can kind of enjoy the spectacle when some of these extremists are slugging it out. But I expressed my admiration for J.K. Rowling, who's she's a little to the left of me, but she's a very sensible and obviously extremely capable and intelligent and also a very courageous woman. She's rather a shy person by nature, but despite that, she comes out and takes these positions and uses the influence and the money that she has as a result of her great talent, in my opinion, in completely sensible and admirable ways. So I think it all around, it's something to be happy about.
I need to be educated about the United Kingdom when it comes to freedom of speech. I know in the United States we have the First Amendment, which comes out of the tradition of English common law, but you've instructed me there's no written constitution. What is it that endorses the speaking out, even in dissent in Britain, and protects the speaker?
Well, the formulation of it has been traditional, but in particular, in the time of the so-called Commonwealth under Oliver Cromwell, there was an assertion of the right of all people to speak as they wished, as long as they didn't advocate the violent overthrow of the government, and in particular of the head of the government. And when Cromwell died and the Stuart dynasty was restored and Charles II was brought back from France, the laws reestablishing the monarchy after an absence of 11 years promulgated explicitly the right of everyone within Great Britain to speak freely, as long with that one provision that they did not incite violence or lawlessness, rebellion against the king. So as a practical matter, it's been entrenched in the law there for nearly 400 years.
And is that the same basis that you have for Canada and the rest of the Commonwealth?
Yeah, well, the Commonwealth varies a little bit. And Canada was set up with a statute called the British North America Act, which has now been replaced by the Constitution Act. But the Constitution Act has a specific charter of rights and freedoms. But throughout the existence of Canada as a jurisdiction, even before it was an independent country starting in 1867, the right of everyone to speak freely with those provisions. You can't defame people and you can't incite lawlessness, but there are penalties for doing it. But apart from that, anyone can say anything they want. And that's always been the rule here. Even when we were a colony and not an independent country, we were a free country in that sense.
And what we have today in the United States, you and I read the same stories coast to coast, is apparently a generation and their elders who have either forgotten or decided to sidestep the idea that dissent is acceptable. It strikes me as a bizarre turn in our cultures, Conrad. And J.K. Rowling is a high example of the same thing that's happening to the least among us.
No, I'm afraid so. It's bizarre and it's worrisome, but I always have confidence that, in the end, to take a sports metaphor, which I'm little qualified to do because I was never very athletic and I'm not a particularly avid sports fan, but it's between the 30-yard lines. I mean, those outside the broadly defined center make a lot of noise and agitate a great deal, but they aren't that numerous. And in the end, these countries are all democracies and the majority prevails and the majority are sensible. And I we were talking just before we went on air that reminiscing about Mr. Nixon's reference to the silent majority, and he appealed, as he put it, to the silent majority of Americans who obey the law, pay their taxes, love their country, and are decent people who care for their fellow men and women, and they have been silent. But I'm appealing to them to reject extremism, and it worked. And I think if it's done properly and sincerely, it always does work. But I think we've, for a variety of complicated sociological reasons that would require a great deal of analysis to elaborate, and I don't claim to be particularly well qualified to do it, we've had a very long and much abused period of excessive indulgence of people harassing exercising a reasonable and universal right to freedom of expression and attempting to intimidate people on behalf of minority opinions that are unrepresentative and are frequently have frequent recourse to methods of intimidation, some of them reprehensible and criminal. I mean, violence and so forth. There's all too much violent demonstrating and mass intimidation of people trying to get up and engage in free debate and so forth. And it is particularly aggravating in universities, which at immense cost to society are supposed to promote free exchanges of view and the avoidance of reluctance to think independently and in an original way. And I think it'll all come around because it always does, but it's had a very long inning here.
J.K. Rowling, Conrad Black, I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see. Depression won't show up on an eye chart, and you can't measure it on your bathroom scale. Sorting out a mental health concern is not something to attempt on your own. you won't find a bipolar disorder by looking at a thermometer. Like many other health conditions, help for mental illness takes professional diagnosis and treatment. Anxiety won't just go away under a stick-on bandage. So the sooner you seek treatment, the better. If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. Find out what to do. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support. That's samhsa.gov/support.